Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. Welcome back to the pod. Today, Christina Hoyt is back and we are digging into a really touchy subject for this time of year that hits home for a lot of people. We're going to talk about weight loss. And specifically, we're talking about why all of us at some point or another in our lives, or maybe even right now, feel like we need to lose weight or it's basically a death sentence. And also how Christina and I approach the topic of weight loss as non-diet weight-inclusive nutritionists. If you're looking for a resource to improve your relationship with food and your body in the new year, Christina and I have created and are launching our rebooted 12-week program to help you break free from dieting and finally make peace with food and your body, and to help you troubleshoot the areas where we commonly see people getting stuck. We'll show you how to recognize the diet mentality in all aspects of life, how to spot real nutrition information versus just dieting and weight loss advice, and how to start substituting behaviors that will promote your long-term mental, emotional, and physical health. We're also going to teach you how to start making food, exercise, and lifestyle choices from a place of self-care rather than fear and self-control. You'll also learn about emotional eating, cravings, demystifying nutrition myths and fads, and how to break free of the constant cycle of restriction and, quote, falling off the wagon, the heaviest air quotes I could ever give you, and so much more. But this isn't just about education. This course is action-oriented, so you can actually start doing something about this right now. It includes weekly video and audio lessons, so if you like podcasts, this will be right up your alley, weekly worksheets and action steps, the support of a private Facebook group, and you're also getting a one-on-one coaching session with either Dana or Christina, which is also included in the course. So here are a couple of things that people have said about our last round of the course. I almost always felt like I was in church and the pastor was talking to me. I felt like the content resonated so deeply. I also love how supportive of one another the other ladies in the group were. I just love all you both have to say. I wish everyone in the world could hear this. You guys are so giving of your time and talents to help us. Thank you. So, if you're ready to join these other successful participants and break free from dieting and finally make peace with food in your body, you can apply for my and Christina's Break the Diet Cycle online course, which is linked in the show notes. But before we get to the episode today, I wanted to give a huge thanks to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's podcast. Real Talk with Dana listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Dana. And another big thanks to Ned, who is also sponsoring the show today. Ned offers small batch CBD products and hormone balancing blends from the finest full spectrum hemp, and you can grab 15% off at helloned.com with the code Dana. Hey guys, Christina and I are back this week and we wanted to talk about a hot button topic that comes up probably for every single person on the face of the planet in January, at least if you have any exposure to any kind of media or New Year's resolutions, right? So the thing that we are going to be diving into today is the topic of, so you want to lose weight, because many people, if not most people who have ever dieted before, now feel like, well, this is a moral imperative for me that I need to be doing something in January, that I should be losing weight because of all of these many things that we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into that, Christina, why don't you just say hi and say like what you've been up to in, I don't know, the month since we did bonus episodes for our holiday challenge.
Oh my gosh. So hi guys, I'm Christina. For those of you that don't know me, on Instagram as Christina Hoyt Nutrition, Dane and I share a lot of each other's stuff on there. So you might have seen me there, but that's mainly where I'm at. What I've been up to is we did the Diet Detox Holiday Challenge, which was really, really fantastic. We had a really, really active group of people, and it was really inspiring to see all of the shifts that people made throughout that time. And we followed back up with them in January, and most of them have resisted joining in on the January weight loss challenges and new maps and what have you, which was really awesome to see and really exciting to see that they're doing that. So that's what I've been up to, and working with my one-on-one clients. And I took a little holiday break. I went down to Charleston with my family, which was amazing. So, but that's it. That's what I've been up to. And I'm excited to be here and talk about So You Want to Lose Weight.
Yeah, and the reason that we wanted to do this episode is not only because Christina and I, as non-diet nutritionists, see this all the time from people, is like they kind of want a permission slip that you don't have to lose weight. You don't want to have to lose weight all the time. But even within our Diet Detox Holiday Challenge group, which the whole goal was to go through that so you don't feel like you have to make the same New Year's resolutions every single year to shrink your body, right? Like, even after going through that, there are still some people, and obviously many people outside of that group, who are like, I'm still struggling. I'm seeing these messages every single day, and it's really getting into my head. And I feel like, you know, the many things that we're going to be talking about today is like, I feel like I'm giving up my health. I feel like I'm being lazy. I feel like I'm not doing anything if I'm not on a diet or making a resolution or trying to lose weight. And so those are the many people that we wanted to give service to with this podcast episode and just explaining, well, of course you want to lose weight and going into those reasons. And then some of the things that you can do about it to kind of switch your mindset, but also give yourself some compassion. And there are also, we like to think, a lot of misconceptions in the general public and general nutrition world now that the like non-diet and body positivity or body neutrality movement are growing and growing and suddenly being co-opted by diet culture, which, like, of course it's going to, because that's kind of what they do, right? Like, anything that's popular, like, oh, well, let's take this, change the wording a little bit, and surprise, it's still going to be a diet, even though we tell you it's not one, right? So, yeah. Oh, God. Yes. Yes,
Hashtag
exactly. Yeah. So, Christina, do you want to start off by talking about the conception and, okay, the misconception that Haze practitioners or non-diet, health at every size, weight-inclusive practitioners, is that is inherently weight loss shaming?
Yeah, I would love to talk about that because it's something that I care a lot about, because the entire practice and the entire research on Haze, on health at every size and being a weight, and I really value being a weight inclusive practitioner. I've done some posts on it. If you want to check out some information and examples, they're pretty clear, but I'm really passionate about it. And the reason why I'm passionate about it, because it has nothing to do with shaming anyone about anything. It's actually about really being inclusive and sharing and being understanding that you can have, literally, you can have health at any size and also have. It's more than just about actual health. And I think people get hung up on that. It's also about having access to health and having unbiased health advice and support given to you regardless of your size and of your waistline. And I think that's a major distinction that often gets missed, that it's really about like removing discrimination and bias in the medical community. And I can't not get on board with that. So to me, that's really the root of it. And so anyone who's seeking any kind of support from a nutritional standpoint, it's my job to come to them with an open mind and to not assume that one, they want to lose weight or not take someone on because they still do want to lose weight. And so that's really important to me. And there is this kind of distinction that, excuse me, guys, I have a little bit of a cough. So there's like a little bit of this distinction that you have to be one or the other. And I really, really, really hate that kind of exclusive thought pattern and mentality around it, because it's really the opposite of that.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, that first dose of compassion today, right? Like, and we're going to be going into this later, but like, of course you want to lose weight for all of the reasons that we're going to talk about. And even though Christina and I are non-diet, anti-diet practitioners, we'll never turn someone away because they want to lose weight, right? And I feel like there are a lot of people who are now finding the non-diet movement and finding this as like, okay, I want to, you know, improve my health, or I just want to learn how to eat in a way that's sustainable, that isn't me going on another diet, that isn't me doing another protocol. Like, I want to figure out something that's just like finding peace from food and like making peace with my body. And some people want that. And at the same time, they still feel like they either need to lose weight or they want to lose weight. And a lot of that is just some re-education that we can do as practitioners, but then also giving, like we said, a dose of compassion of like, of course you want to lose weight. And I would never turn away a potential client because they still wanted to lose weight. And I know there are some practitioners in the non-diet community who will not work with people if they want to lose weight. But both Christina and I have the same process here. If we feel like that's a really big missed opportunity, is like you don't want to turn someone away from wanting to find an alternative lifestyle to this chronic yo-yo dieting that causes so many health problems, both mental and physical health, right? And it's really doing a disservice to that, the general population and that population of people, of basically shutting them out and not allowing them the opportunity to find an alternative way of life that is much healthier on many fronts.
Yeah. And I think also what kind of bothers me about it too, is that I feel that it's, it kind of shuts someone out because they haven't had access to the information that maybe we have, or they haven't followed long enough to know that that weight loss isn't, you know, doesn't last, and that the behaviors around blind weight loss programs cause. And so I'm not going to hold someone accountable for information that they've been gathering for their entire lives, and it's built into their belief system and it's built into the belief system of our culture. I'm not going to hold someone accountable for that or shame them for it. I'm going to support them and say, hey, have you thought about looking at it this other way? How has this worked for you in the past? How has this affected your well-being around your family and your loved ones and your life and your friends and your day-to-day life? How has this impacted you? And are you open to doing something a little bit different? Now, for the practitioners who say that they won't work with anyone for weight loss, I don't quite get it. But I also understand that there's a distinction between draw a line in the sand that I won't give someone a weight loss program, and that's not what I do. So if that needs to be clear, then that has to be made clear, right? Like I'm not going to give someone like a very strict meal plan saying this is how many calories you need to eat every day, and that's what it is, unless we're dealing with someone who has been calorically in a deficit for a long period of time and we're trying to refill them nutriently. You know, there's a difference, right?
Right.
So
yeah, and I mean, I think the point that we're trying to get across is here is like we're not going to turn away people who want to lose weight, but we will never give you a weight loss protocol or a, you know, as nutritionists, we're never going to give you something with the goal of intentional weight loss, right? With the end all be all goal of weight loss. And honestly, like this is something that Christina and I have talked so many hours about. Like, I think we were on the phone yesterday for, what was it, like 4 hours or something?
I know. I don't know why we didn't just record while
I know,
we were talking.
Honestly, sometimes I wish I record just when we're talking on the phone, because some of the stuff we talk about, it's like, man, this could be a really good podcast episode. But just to make that clear, we are not advocating weight loss for the sake of weight loss, right? At the same time, we're not going to turn someone away because they want to lose weight. With that patient or that client, it's more rerouting. It's like, okay, well, let's dig into all of the reasons why you want to lose weight. How can we, you know, say it's, I want to feel better about myself. I want my digestion to improve. I want, you know, all of these things. There are many behavioral and lifestyle changes that you can make to improve someone's health, irregardless of weight. Not including weight in the conversation at all.
Exactly. And a lot of the science actually really supports that. So that the behavior modifications are really the driver for some of the health shifts that a lot of people are really seeking. And it's just mixed up in weight loss because we live in a culture that's so obsessed with being thin. And so that's kind of where the re-education comes in and meeting people where they are. That's the big piece of being a coach, right? Is and that's what we are too. We're coaches alongside being clinical nutritionists. So understanding where someone is and meeting them where they are and then helping them along the way to maybe shift that perspective. And maybe the entire time we work together that they secretly always want to lose weight. But that's something that we work on together. That's a mindset pattern and a belief system that we can work on, you know, educating and providing you with resources in order to help you kind of I called it liberate yourself from that whole mentality of trying to lose weight and thinking that your weight is so intertwined with what it means to be healthy and what people look at the definition of healthy. And I think a lot of people think of healthy as like the absence of disease. And that's just not true. I mean, anybody of any size can become diabetic and can get cancer and can have digestive issues. So it's just something that I think we need to start to break that connection down, and that takes time. And so I'm not going to shame someone for going back to the beginning. I'm not going to shame someone for having the desire to want to lose weight, especially in the cultural like weight loss climate that we live in.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I want to kind of go into now, but I want to talk about something that you just said also is like many people think of health as the absence of disease, right? But then also people think of weight gain and being, you know, quote, overweight or quote, obese. And we're going to talk about those terms and how they were completely made up by the medical system, by insurance companies. But also people then view gaining weight, being overweight, being in a larger body as a disease. So then like draw those lines together, right? If health is the absence of disease and disease equals gaining weight or being in a larger body, then obviously, you know, by this logic, health and being in a larger body cannot coexist. But we are here to re-educate and say, well, on the one hand, like that's just completely not true. And we can break down all of the reasons why we have been led to believe this way. But it's also not shown to be true in the research, right? And a big thing that we talked about yesterday on the phone, which obviously you guys weren't privy to, is causation is not the same as correlation. Correlation does not equal causation. And that's what a lot of these research studies, when they're talking about the relationship and the connections between being in a larger body and very real diseases like cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure and, you know, heart attack and diabetes and all these other things, there's a correlation between being in a larger body and having those things, but there's not a causation. And the other failure of these studies is it doesn't take into account any of the, you know, lifestyle or behaviors that these people are having that could be the same as people in smaller bodies who also are diseased in that they get diabetes or they get any of these other things. But there aren't a lot of studies being done on people in thinner bodies or smaller bodies that are getting these diseases and saying, oh, well, it's because you're thin that you got diabetes, right? Like no one's doing studies on that. So it's just, we need to think about whenever you see an article or something that says like, oh, you know, obesity is the cause of blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, part of our responsibility as a general public who consumes nutrition information, if you really want to be sure of what you're reading, is it would do well for all of us to develop a degree of research literacy so we can really dig into, okay, what is the research actually saying? What were the methods? How big was the sample size? Was it biased? And then what is the research actually saying? And then thinking about what was the aim of the researchers when they did this study? Like, what are they trying to prove and for what ends?
Totally. And you can do this with books too, right? Like everyone has a slant, right? Like you have a slant that you're going in, and I'm not going to name any books.
Everyone has an angle, basically. What was the show I was just watching that said that? I can't remember. I'll figure it out.
But everyone, like you said, everyone has a slant. So not only the research itself, right? But also the way that we're digesting the information too, you know, like where we're seeing it, where we're getting it, where we're gathering it from, how it's being collected and presented also matters too, right? So, and that could be like the collective of all the information that we're taking in, right? So if you're going to, I don't know, like a big website that typically is drawn towards this kind of lifestyle wellness encapsulated, and then there's like these subtle like weight loss things in there, a lot of their information, a lot of the studies they're going to be showing you are going to be under a dieting lens because it helps support their perspective. Right. And so you have to think about it from that perspective, like from that angle as well, and kind of do what you can to remove the dieting lens on a lot of the nutrition information that we're taking in on a daily basis. And also, I think also what's really beneficial too to that becoming more research literate, but also to look back on where you've gathered these beliefs that you have around nutrition and around health and wondering, where have I gathered this from? And is there potential for bias in some of this? And the answer is probably yes, myself included. There's bias in every research that you get. And so it's important to take that into consideration and think about that and where we're absorbing all this information and how we're collecting it. And if we're collecting it and then holding on to pieces of it that fit our own perspective, right? And then letting go of other pieces that might be really, really valuable at the same time.
Yeah. And then learning how to view all of the information that's coming into you, whether it's about bodies or food or nutrition or, you know, even political information. Like, that's an easier way for people to think about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you turn on the TV and you're watching a certain channel, you know what their slant is, right? But people don't commonly think about that when you're looking at, you know, influencers or you're looking at Instagram or whatever. And like, what's this person's slant? Like, you're not thinking of them in terms of, you know, in the US, like, you know, on TV when a representative or a senator or whatever is like Democrat or Republican, you generally know like where they're coming from, right? But you don't really think about that when we're looking at research studies or when we're looking at general health articles or anything like that. And one thing that is really helpful to think about, and Christina has been talking about this a lot lately on her Instagram, so you should go look at it, but it's, are you getting true nutrition information or is it just dieting advice cloaked as nutrition information? Because most of the information that we're getting about health and nutrition and everything is really just dieting advice. It's not clinical nutrition advice. Break time. We are talking about some heavy-ish today, so I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a breather, which means it's time to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. So here's the thing. A lot of people are embarrassed about therapy because there's sort of a stigma around going to a therapist, similar to how there's stigma around weight, maybe, that we've been talking about today, and we're going to talk about in the second half of the episode too. But about therapy specifically, a lot of people think that other people will think there's something wrong with them if they mention going to a therapist. Like, ooh, what are you going for? Okay, stay out of my business, first of all. And if you ask if anyone has any therapist recommendations, you don't want to feel like those people are like digging into your personal business, because let's be honest, most of the time it's messy enough and you don't want people all up in your own business that you're still trying to figure out for yourself, or wondering if they're judging you for wanting to go to therapy, which mostly just means that they've never gone to therapy themselves before and have no idea what it's really like. And you'd rather just avoid all that. But here's the thing. Fear and shame keeps people quiet. Fear and shame also keep people from getting the help that they need, whether it's talking to someone about your health, your relationship with food in your body, your relationships with other people, anxiety, depression. All this shit is messy, and it's nearly impossible to go at it alone and find true healing. So that's where BetterHelp can swoop in to kind of help you out here. BetterHelp is an online therapy platform that is 100% privacy protected, affordable, and provides professional counseling services from thousands of licensed, accredited, and board certified therapists, not just some influencer on Instagram. So to get started, you can fill out an online intake questionnaire and BetterHelp matches you with your own counselor who you can see from the comfort of your own home in your pajamas if you want, either over the phone or on a privacy-protected video platform. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling that's done securely online. And you can get connected with someone in under 24 hours. No more waiting for weeks to get an appointment with a therapist in your area who you haven't even met yet. So BetterHelp's mission is to provide everyone with easy, affordable, and private access to professional counseling anytime, anywhere. And you can get started today because Real Talk with Dana listeners get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Dana. That's betterhelp.com/DANA. And today's show is also sponsored by Ned. So Ned's collection of full spectrum hemp oil products contains CBD extracted from the finest organic hemp plants and is all grown with love on a small 12-acre homestead in the beautiful, bountiful farmland of Colorado. And what's super cool and what I'm super excited to share with you guys today is that Ned also just launched a line called Natural Cycles, which is specifically formulated for women's health. You guessed it. Around our cycles. So the product line is a unique collection of premium CBD products specifically made to bring healing to your body and harmony to your menstrual rhythm, all month long, no matter how short or long your cycle is, so you can stop basically suffering through all the cramps, headaches, bloatings, and sometimes extreme mood and energy changes that can accompany our cycles because they are just so lovely, right? And then they can help you get back to living your best life. So the line includes a balanced blend, which you guessed it, is to help balance out your hormones with a blend of CBD, herbs, minerals, antioxidants, fatty acids, and vitamins. An ease blend, which is to help ease menstrual discomfort and cramps with a combo of CBD and herbs like cramp bark, black cohosh, ginger, and cinnamon. A soothe salve, which is specifically for PMS symptoms before your cycle, with herbs like lavender, rose, chamomile, ginger, and CBD, of course. And then finally, an energize roll-on, which is to help boost both your body and mind with CBD plus essential oils. Pretty sweet, huh? And of course, like I mentioned last week, Ned is also a fantastic source of high-quality small-batch CBD products from the finest full-spectrum hemp that are independent third-party tested for quality, potency, and purity, which is extremely important when you're navigating the murky waters and world of CBD and you don't really know what's what. And you can grab 15% off your order of Ned products at helloned.com with the code Dana, D-A-N-A. So we've been like alluding to this the whole time and now have been talking for 20 minutes. So let's talk about why everyone, especially during this type of time of year, feels like they need to lose weight, right? And part of the reason is because the dominant narrative surrounding health is that we need to be a certain weight or in the pursuit of weight loss in order to be healthy or improve our health. Otherwise, there are consequences, and we're going to talk about those consequences. Yeah. So what we want to say is, like, of course you want to lose weight, and of course you feel like you need to lose weight, not just as a health thing, but, like, as a moral imperative, or you feel like you're just giving up your health, and you're being lazy, and you have no willpower, and you're dooming yourself to be overweight and unattractive and all of these things forever. So, like, when that's the messaging that you're getting, right, from all these various different slants, probably from people who are trying to sell you diets or whatever, of course that's how you feel.
I also want to take in the gather something else that is not as obvious. A lot of people decide, like, oh, I want to do something for my health, or I just want to make some lifestyle changes for my health. And what ends up happening is, so a lot of times we'll sign up for something like, you know, Weight Watchers or Enter Diet Here that seems more open-minded and more broad scoping and allows for more foods, like, you know, all that kind of, you know, that kind of, it's, they can be really enticing, right? They can be really enticing because we're trying to, we want to, you know, it's weight loss cloaked as I want to do something great for my health. But if in our subconscious, we're thinking, I want to do something, out loud, we're saying, I want to do something good for my health. But in our subconscious, we're equating health with a smaller body. Then every choice that we're making to make healthier lifestyle choices are going to be rooted in losing weight. And what we're hoping for and what we want for each person who's listening to this is to dive into that. Why is that? Where is that coming from? What messages have I gathered throughout my life that say that I need to be in a smaller body in order to be healthy, in order to be all of these things? And there's a lot of concepts and a lot of things you can research and understand deeper into, like internalized fat phobia and weight stigma and all of these things, and the thin ideal and our beauty standards and all of those things that you can start to dive into to understand more and say, and like the same way that we look at biases in other areas of our lives, we should look at our biases here and think, okay, I want to understand deeper on where this is coming from. Let me start doing some research. Let me start understanding where this might be coming from and then go from there. Because that's really what happens. That's how it becomes so enticing to do things like Weight Watchers. And I haven't looked at Noom, but my husband's told me about it. He has some friends who are doing it. And so he's told me it's basically like Weight Watchers. But when it's cloaked as that and saying like, oh, all foods are available, but you just have to watch what you eat. That's dieting, and that's calorie restriction is basically what they're teaching you. And calorie restriction leads to weight cycling, which we're not going to get into today, but that's like a whole nother topic for another day. But that is also, that is the antithesis, or am I using that right?
Yes.
It's like, it's the antithesis of health promoting.
You know what I think would be good to also add to this is talk about what you said yesterday about the 80-20 rule.
Oh, God. Okay. The 80-20 rule. So I have a – I guess I'll just tell the story because I have this incredible client that I love so much. And they listened to a video about how, you know, eating balance and eating in moderation is still really rooted in calories in, calories out, and good and bad foods, because it just, it continues to feed that. And she read about this idea and heard about this idea of eating in harmony, which I just loved. But it got us talking about why, what about moderation and what about eating balanced? I'm putting these in quotations, guys. So, like, what about that is so bad, and what is it? And that's essentially what balanced means and what moderation means is basically the 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule is essentially what everybody is doing every single week. Monday through Friday, I'm going to eat really, really clean, quote unquote clean, and I'm going to watch everything that I eat. I'm going to do really, really good. And then on the weekends, I'm going to go hard, and those are my cheat days. That is essentially the breakdown and the makeup of binge eating. That's what that is. 20% of the time I'm going to binge eat. 80% of the time I'm going to eat really healthy, and I'm going to try to make up for that binge.
And that's, they call that healthy.
And they call that healthy. And that is not healthy. That's an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And there are implications with that eating disorder, with nutrient depletions and all kinds of stuff as well. Not only just the mental health piece too, but for the people out there who think that that binge eating disorder might not have nutritional implications, it has a lot of nutritional health implications on a physical level, not just on the mental level too.
Right, exactly. And so many implications, not only nutritional deficiencies and potential malnourishment, right? But then also lots of physical signs and symptoms, digestive issues, energy issues, skin issues, headaches, like, you know, it's just the whole nine yards.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the things that we're searching for and looking for and doing in a lot of these types of diets and protocols and lifestyle changes and all of the things. And quite frankly, as a clinical practitioner in an integrative physician's office, I have to include sometimes gut protocols are fall into this category too. It can, in a very dangerous way, feed into this exact same scenario of the 80-20 rule. And I find the 80-20 rule to be one of the most dangerous things I've seen. Like, I find it really, really dangerous because it's just so obvious that it's binge eating
and disordered. Yeah.
And disordered. And it's, and you know, it's just, yeah. So that's really bothers me. So that was my soapbox yesterday when we were talking.
One of the many soapboxes.
One of the many.
But speaking of another soapbox, I want to go into some of the very specific, let's call them institutionalized reasons why people feel like pressure from all sides to lose weight as a moral and health imperative, right? We're being told that for most of our lives, until you start to experience some of this, like basically counter-revolutionary research and stuff like that, right? Is weight stigma is built into the medical system. And you guys have heard us talk about this before. You've probably heard me talk about this before on multiple podcasts and stuff. But BMI is a mathematical made-up construct made by not doctors and not nutritionists, but by literally mathematicians as a way to
categorize people.
Yeah, to categorize people, and also as a way to make the insurance companies more money. Because
it actually was not supposed to be for insurance companies originally.
Really?
No, it wasn't. It was a way to categorize
them.
No, it was in a way, it was started off as a way to categorize people for a study, but it never had any implication on weight or health, or I mean, it had weight, but never any health or anything like that. And it was never supposed to go to insurance companies. What happened is, insurance companies found it and decided to categorize people based on this, and then decided to change premiums based on that, and then they we started associating health risks with BMI.
Your BMI, yeah,
yeah, and that's how it started, kind of going in that route, which is incredibly dangerous. And then back in the 90s, they randomly changed the ranges for the BMI, and something like 20 million people became obese overnight, without ever even changing a number on the scale. Which is really infuriating, right?
Right.
But this is what we're talking about, like the institutionalized weight stigma, and like that comes in there, and how it is fit into everything. So you think about every single physician that you've ever worked with has been taught this. So every time you go to the doctor, if you're in a larger body, you feel it. You know, you feel them. You're waiting for them to say, "Well, you might want to lose some weight," you know, you know, or maybe this would feel better if, you know. And you know, we get weighed every single time we go to the doctor, whether it's for strep throat or not. And why? What does my weight have anything to do with my strep throat?
Right. Exactly. And this is where, like, a lot of people don't have a full explanation of something, of what like thin privilege or like weight stigma looks like. So for example, like if, because Christina and I are in conventionally smaller bodies, we're like small people on the scale of people in the world, right? So if we go to the doctor and we go in for strep throat, they're probably not going to ask us about weight loss or weight gain, or like, oh, you should probably lose weight as a way to cure your strep throat, because obviously that's going to work, right? Whereas if someone goes to the doctor and is in a larger body, that's probably the first thing they're going to hear. So that basically is a privilege that Christina and I have, and many other people have, right? If you fit into the BMI categories, or if you don't, or, you know, wherever you fall on that scale, regardless of what your health actually is, I can go to the doctor's office without, most of the time, without worrying about having to get harassed about my weight, or without having to worry for days before I go into the doctor that they're going to harass me about my weight and I need to lose weight. Someone who's in a larger body than I am does not enjoy that privilege, because there is this stigma associated with being in a larger body that you must be unhealthy. People assume what your dietary choices are, what your lifestyle choices are, based on the size of your body, when really the size of your body can tell you nothing about that person's health history, family history, blood pressure, blood markers, like what vitamins, nutrients, supplements they take, their food choices, their exercise, you know, like nothing really.
Mm-hmm. I know. And so I think that that's really important. I see that as a clinician, right? Like, I see that every day, that it doesn't tell me anything. You know, the size of the body doesn't tell me anything about where and what this person is dealing with in their health. And so I think that that's why, for us, becoming a health at every size weight inclusive practitioner is just a natural progression of further education. And so I think that that's the important, a really important thing to understand, is that you might be seeking weight loss right now, and you might be thinking to yourself like, oh, well, I'm going to do this for my health. And yeah, maybe weight loss will be a part of it, but like, maybe you're not completely sucked into it. But I really encourage you, because with additional education, and with more deeping into and looking into some of these concepts that we're talking about, and especially like where the nutrition and the lens that we're gathering our nutrition information from, and how we're having these belief systems, how this comes in with your own further education, I would be very surprised if it didn't start to shift for you too.
Right. So our kind of, because we wanted to leave you guys with something here. We're not done yet, but we wanted to leave you with something to not only think about, but something you can do to kind of figure out, okay, where am I here, and what are my beliefs, and how do I start to reexamine them and stuff like this. So if you want to lose weight, or if you feel like I need to lose weight for my health, or, you know, any of these things, we commonly do an exercise with our clients that's kind of like talking to a kid, when it's like, you know, you ask them a question, they're like, why? And then you say something else, and they're like, why? And, you know, it's just like a back and forth. And by doing an exercise like that with yourself, you can really start to dig deeper and really like peel the layers of the onion away to get to the center of why you really want to lose weight, right? And so maybe the starting point is like, I want to lose weight. And you're like, okay, why? And it's curiosity rather than judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, okay, I want to lose weight. Why? Next one. I need to lose weight for my health. Why do I believe that health equals weight loss, right? And then really digging into that. And for a lot of other people, it's, well, I want to lose weight because I want to feel better in my body and I want to, you know, fill in the blank of these things. And sometimes then it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast is you can make a lot of the changes and achieve a lot of the results that you want, not because of weight loss, but because of different behavior modifications, right?
So if someone says, in health.
Right, exactly. So if someone says, I want to lose weight so that I have more energy to play with my kids or something like that, it's like, okay, well, let's just work on the energy piece. Weight doesn't even have to come into it, right? And then for a lot of people, because weight loss has so many levels, right? There's this like health-ism and there's this, you know, the disease part of it. And then there's a like worthiness and moral imperative part of it too. And for a lot of people, they feel like they need to lose weight in order to be happy and to feel valued and to feel like worthy and to take up space in this world, basically. And Brené Brown talks a lot about this. We both highly recommend reading her. She will rip your heart out and tear it into a million pieces and then put it back together. As we can say from personal experience, right? But doing this like many layers of why exercise can help you really dig into where all of these beliefs coming from. Like, what do I really want? And why does weight loss have a piece in it? Again, not from a judgment perspective, but from a curiosity perspective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what can you take from some of the things that you want to accomplish or some of the I also think some of the things that are associated with weight loss can be used in a non-weight loss perspective, right? Like, so sometimes people say like, oh, I need to eat more vegetables and I need to do all these things because I need to lose weight. It's like, well, I'll take the weight out of it. Do you want to eat more vegetables? If the answer is yes, then just eat more vegetables. You don't have to be on this whole crusade and this new found shiny new program that's going to solve all your problems. Like that's... You can just start doing that. If you want to start exercising more and want to do some more joyful movement every day, you can just do that without it being attached to anything.
Right. With the overall goal here of being weight and food and body really neutrality and like peace. So you can get to a point where your weight no longer drives your every single day choices. And one thing that Christina said yesterday that was so good that I literally wrote it down in my notes for this podcast is...
Oh God, what was it?
It was being in a larger body is not a ticking time bomb waiting for something awful to happen. Because in that situation, you're constantly fighting against your body and it's extremely disempowering.
Yeah. I also want to say one other thing. So you say don't let weight loss be the driver for some of your decisions. Don't let your daily body image be the driver for a lot of your decisions too. I think that's a huge thing too. It's like we look in the mirror and we're like, oh, I hate my body today. Sometimes everybody hates their body that day, but let's not make all of our decisions based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fleeting, right? One day we think we look awesome in photos. The next day we're like, oh my God, I look terrible. And I think that's another piece too, that if right now you're not identifying fully with the weight loss piece, you're like, I don't think I'm trying to lose weight, but you're making choices based on how you look at your body and your body image that day. I think you should take that out of it too.
Right.
Because I think it turns into punishment.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you could go through back to the beginning of this podcast and replace the word weight loss or weight with body image. And it would be the same messaging.
Yep. Absolutely.
Want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I loved this conversation.
I know.
First of all.
This was good.
I thought it was really great. And I hope that everyone takes something from it. And I hope that if nothing else, you leave here today with a little bit more curiosity.
Right.
And a little bit more open-mindedness towards weight-inclusive care and the idea of weight-inclusive care and the idea of health at every size. And if you're interested in learning more about it, you know, message us, comment, maybe Dana will put some stuff in the show notes for some good resources on reading, on additional, a little bit of light reading.
Check this out weeks ago for a bit of light reading.
I thought you'd like that.
You know I can't resist putting a Harry Potter quote in there.
But yeah, I think that that would be a really great thing for everybody. And I hope that you leave today feeling curious.
Yeah. And then...
and a little bit more gentle with yourself.
Yes, definitely. And if, when people want to come find you and all of the great things that you've been doing, whether they want to work with you or they want to just check out your Instagram website, plug all of the things.
So the best place to find me is at Christina Hoyt Nutrition on Instagram. That's really where my party's at. And then all of my links to my website and my, I have like a little freebie on there and a free discovery session for a 20-minute chat with me to see if it makes sense for us to work together is all there. My website's under construction right now, but yeah, that's where you can find me on Instagram. Yeah, on Instagram. And I'm really excited for my website to be changed. I'm really excited for all the things that I'm doing with it. So hope to see you on the IG.
On the IG. And then you can also find Christina and I soon.
Together.
Together again in the new version of Break the Diet Cycle.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes, and come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's podcast. To take the online questionnaire and get matched up with a licensed therapist today, go to betterhelp.com/Dana for 10% off your first month. And thanks also to Ned for sponsoring today's show. So make sure you head over to helloned.com and use the code Dana to grab 15% off your order of organic, non-GMO, high-quality hemp oils and hormone balancing blends.